you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark! You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
Well, this being the holiday season, a season of giving, we are giving up the White Sox Talk Podcast to you, the dedicated and diehard White Sox fan. You pick the topics. You ask the questions to us on Twitter, Gunk, Kamka, put them all in a hat. We've got over 200 of these, and we're going to randomly choose them. And if we pick your question, you'll receive a very special White Sox prize. We're in the giving mood, aren't we, here today?
It's perfect. I mean, tis the season. I feel like much of what we've done the last few years and the fan response we've gotten over the last couple of years has been overwhelming at times in a good way. So the least we can do is have a podcast where we give back.
That's true. We got so many cool prizes here. We got Tim Anderson bobblehead, actually two of them, two Jim Thome bobbleheads, a hat. We got a 1993 Western Division championship.
Here, I think it's safe to say what we have here is the White Sox 2018 promotional items.
Yes,
the giveaways from the season, which were phenomenal, by the way.
And there's a grand prize.
There is a grand prize.
The grand prize being two weekend passes. When I say weekend, I say Friday, Saturday, and Sunday passes to Sox Fest. Someone out there,
it's pretty phenomenal,
is going to go all 3 days to Sox Fest.
Yep.
And you can bring a friend.
Yep.
So all that is coming up. Do you have any thoughts there, Chris, before we start?
If you win these Sox Fest tickets, we'll see you there.
And also, if you win one of these prizes, you got to send me a direct message on Twitter with your name and address. Otherwise, it's not going to get to you. So remember that. Send me a direct message on Twitter, your name and address. And by the way, the White Sox Talk Podcast, as always, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. All right, Goff, you want to start first?
Sure. We got everything here in this beautiful Beggar's Pizza floppy hat.
Which
is a gift. Yeah, it is a gift. Not this hat, technically. Yeah. We don't want to dirty your hat. We have a nice other one.
The fact that it's a Beggar's Pizza hat
that's still on
makes me want it.
We're going to start here.
Because of pizza?
Yeah.
All right, we're starting the podcast with Andrew Allen at Milwaukee Drew. Okay?
Yep.
Predict the 2021 starting outfielders based solely on prospects within the organization today.
That's good. That's good. I mean, I'm going to put Jimenez in left.
Okay.
I'm putting Robert in center.
Yeah.
And
it's
I'm
just prospect based.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then I'm thinking Micah Rodolfo in right. If it's only the prospects, but that's not including a Blake Rutherford, a Luis Gonzalez.
Luis Basabe. Yeah, I actually am going to agree with you. Adolfo's arm strength puts him in. He's the ideal right fielder. We know he can hit. He's had the Tommy John. I don't think that's going to affect him. But if we're doing prospects only, I just want to see Micah Rodolfo, period. And I'll take a little. I think he might have the best arm in the organization, and that's including Basabe.
They say he does have the best one.
So I salivate a little bit thinking about those three.
I'd have no problem having Blake Rutherford and those guys there, but if I had to choose three right now, I'd choose those three.
Here's what I would say, and I would say this based on performance. Eloy in left. I would have Luis Gonzalez in center.
You love Luis Gonzalez.
And I would have Adolfo in right. And I wouldn't include Robert because he hasn't done anything yet.
Okay.
And that's the only reason why.
The question
I mean, so the ceiling is still very high. And I think he will do well. I'm just saying I won't include him yet because he hasn't done it.
What year was it, 2020 or 21?
2021.
Okay. He should be ready by then.
You're looking, but you don't know.
Two full seasons
completed by then.
This is based on performance, like I said.
Based on performance, and it does say prospects within the organization today.
But here, we didn't give him a prize.
We haven't given him a prize. You are correct.
I think we have to give a prize first, choose a prize, and then...
We should have a separate hat with prizes.
Yeah, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go do that going forward. Andrew has won himself it has been chilly. It's cold. Yeah. It's winter. You've won yourself a nice little White Sox fleece hat here.
Yeah, that's solid.
Right?
It's a White Sox winter hat.
White Sox winter hat to start the prize pack. Andrew, congratulations. Direct message Chuck on Twitter, and that's coming your way.
All right, so now before you choose that, Kampka, you got to choose a prize.
All right, choose a prize. All right. Yeah, that's a good point.
You were kind of high on the beggar's pizza hat. I mean, I'm just saying, there's an option there.
I'm going to take one of these Hawk Harrelson nesting dolls.
Perfect. Yep.
Yeah.
We have two Hawk Harrelson nesting dolls to give away.
All right. These things are pretty cool.
Let's go.
So, the winner of that
is?
It's Rads, at Redline Rads. And he asks, outside of Frank Thomas, who from the 05 Sox team has the best chance to make the Baseball Hall of Fame? Bonus question, will Dick Allen make the Baseball Hall of Fame? And the answers are Mark Burley and yes.
So perfect that you got that question.
It is really perfect.
Yeah, I would say Mark Burley.
Yeah.
Because what he's been able to do things that are, more lofty than, say, a Paul Konerko, which is probably his closest competition. Burley had 14 consecutive seasons of at least 200 innings, and how many other players have done that? Well, I think it's about seven, and they're all in the Hall of Fame. So there's that. 214 wins, I believe, which
yes.
And nowadays, that's 200 is the new 300.
Yeah, wins are becoming more and more extinct,
right?
And it'll only get
two no-hitters.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was able to throw two no-hitters despite the stuff he had, mind you, he had like 240 hits allowed in one season. He's allowed a ton of hits.
Yeah.
And he seems like a very unlikely guy to throw a no-hitter. That's the guy.
Gold gloves, started
yeah,
an all-star
gold gloves.
Game, closed a World Series game, won a World Series.
Had a start and a save in the World Series,
yeah.
And he hit a home run.
Yeah. Yep. Got a perfect game with Josh Fields playing first base.
I don't think you're going to have
Sorry, Josh.
He also had a grand slam in that perfect game.
I think he's the guy. I think he's the guy. And I think he's one of four lefties with at least 60 pitching war. Yeah. So
awesome.
The defense, Dick Allen, Hall of Fame.
The defense rests.
All right. Just put that there so we can kind of like coordinate this stuff because this is going to be a mess after a while. All right. I'm going to give away – ooh, I'm going with this. The White Sox 1983 road jersey.
Yeah, that's a –
man, I want this for myself.
I'm guessing that had a big line that day to get into the ballpark.
That's incredible. Yeah. All right. This person that wins this is Jimbo, Jimmy Sobo. Jimmy Sobo, this is for you.
Fitting, Jimbo.
It's not a Chuck fake account, so he can win that jersey.
Yeah, this is an XL, too, adult
person.
XL. What will the pitching staff look like when the national media coverage has dubbed them the Four Horsemen of Bridgeport? So who will these Four Horsemen of Bridgeport be? That's the question.
Ooh, well, Dylan Cease will be a part of that. Michael Kopech will be a part of that. There will be a free agent added
yes.
to it. A big-time free agent. I'm not going to put a name on that.
I'll put Garrett Cole on
it. Garrett Cole. Chuck and I have been really high on the Garrett Cole train. I know Chris likes him, too. So let's put Garrett Cole.
He's a free agent next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? Those three, we could put anybody in that four spot at that point with those three.
I think Lopez is still there.
Dunning? Yeah.
Probably.
Dunning. Maybe it's Dane Dunning. I still think Lopez, personally, I think he was phenomenal last year. I think he still could be back into the bullpen guy. I know that probably makes some people raise their eyebrows.
Very possibly. Now, it's not an insult
no.
either.
No.
It's a depth thing.
No. All right. Well, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we just
there it was.
Nailed that one. All right. Before I give, okay.
You have to choose a gift.
I'm going to go. You know what? I think it's time for a bobblehead.
Yeah, we have a bunch
Jim
of them.
Jim Thome was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame this year, and we have a couple of his bobbleheads here to give away. So our first Jim Thome, and properly sponsored from Wintrust. Jim Thome's 2018 Hall of Fame bobblehead will go to, it's going to go to Coach Lester, cross country track and field, at Coach Lester XCTF. You like how I knew that acronym?
Yeah.
Bolingbrook High School.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Sox trading Abreu to the Yankees for Miguel Andujar? Opens up third base for the Yankees to sign Machado. It also fixes first base for them. The Sox can get a long-term piece at third. I would hate to see Abreu leave, but would love another staple at a position of need for us. Very, very well read, or very well written there from Coach.
That, well, he's a teacher.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Well, Coach, you're getting to know Jim Tomey Bobblehead as we answer your question.
All right, so the answer that I'll answer this question. So trading Abreu is something I kind of don't want to do, but for that, I'd say go for it. Roll the dice. There's tons of control left on Andujar.
But not for Abreu. I think the Sox would have to add a pretty high-end prospect.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was saying, for the premise of the question, if that's the deal, yeah, I'd do it. But, yeah, the Yankees probably wouldn't.
Is it Abreu and Bisabe for Andujar?
It's something like that.
I would do that, too.
They're going to want pitching, I'm guessing. Yankees?
Yeah, well.
Pitching prospect?
Sorry, then this deal is.
You had said something like, oh, give them Blake Rutherford back.
Yeah, I said that they probably would want something like Blake Rutherford back. But, I mean, you're getting control at a position of need, assuming Machado, you know, again, he referenced Machado to the Yankees. That would be the assumption, is that you're not getting Manny Machado, and you are getting Andujar. He had a great year. He's a good hitter. He had some, you know, some struggles at third base, but.
Yeah, all right, so the winner.
It's a good proposal, though.
Yeah. What do you want?
No, that this jersey Pennant? Over here.
Oh, he wants a soccer jersey? Yeah. Is that a soccer jersey?
Yeah.
This is the Los White Sox soccer jersey.
Well done. Yeah, so it's a pretty neat-looking jersey.
Very cool.
I like it. So that's going to Jose E. Munoz Jr.
And our guy.
At IMJR Tweet. And he asks, the Sox reportedly met with Machado for 10 hours and a night out on the town. Yankees reportedly met with him only 90 minutes and a dinner with GM. Machado, his wife, and free agent. That's a big difference. Any idea why the Sox meeting took so much longer, bad slash good for either side?
And he's meeting with the Phillies as we speak while we're taping this.
I look at this as you can't read into length of meeting because you don't really technically know. The dinner last night in New York could have gone 3 or 4 hours. This thing, as the wind shifts, so do the rumors about Machado. I felt great. I told Chuck right before we taped this, I felt great last night when I left the office about Manny Machado to the White Sox. I felt sick before I went to bed.
Because of the Bob Nightingale tweet?
Because of the Bob Nightingale tweet. And that, because he's a perfect fit. The Yankees are slobbering all over him. It's still going to come down to money no matter what. And I know he wants to play for the Yankees. Don't read into too many of what you hear about length of meeting and where they go to dinner and such like that.
I'm going to play optimism here. It only takes you 90 minutes to realize New York sucks. Next.
Done. Moving on. I love it.
I just keep going back to this. Will the Yankees give Machado the most money? I don't feel like they will compared to other teams.
Yeah, they
now, that doesn't mean that he's not going to take that offer. I feel better about Machado to the White Sox than I did a week ago.
Agreed.
But I still would only put it at about 30%.
I just think the White Sox, they had all day. So why not have a presentation that takes up the bulk of the time? The moment he shows up, here are the seven things we have outlined for him, and some of which require getting in a car and going around the city.
Listen, we got Yonder Alonso, his brother-in-law, in our camp. He is going to be pushing for it. You know, his sister is going to be pushing for it.
Yeah.
And maybe Machado's wife.
Machado said, you know what? Well, take me to this beggar's pizza I heard so much about. And, you know.
I go back to what Chris said. New York sucks. Let's go to the next one.
All right. Now, I've got in my hand a pennant, the 1993 Western Division White Sox championship pennant.
Love that team.
That was that was right in your wheelhouse there, Ryan McGuffey. And here is the question. Jerry Conte, you win it. Goes to you. Jerry Conte, 60. Am I the only one who thinks Yoan Moncada will have an all-star season in 2019?
I hope not. I'm not going to put all-star on him, but here's what I'm going to say. I think he's going to have a great bounce-back season. He learned a lot last year, and the spotlight is going to be on other people. Harper or Machado, Eloy Jimenez. There's going to be other people.
He'll have some help.
Yeah, there's going to have to wear the expectation umbrella a little bit more than he will. People will be – he may have to take his lumps early, but I do expect Yoan Moncada. For all the people who have given up on him and crapped all over him last year, the 220 strikeouts, that's bad. The guy's got so much talent, and he's still so young, people.
I think he will. Let me say this. You look at the competition for All-Star. Okay, Jose Altuve, he's going to go.
Yep.
Jed Lowry, who was the other guy who made it last year. I mean, he's 35.
He's a free agent, too, so you don't know yet.
Yeah, he might not be in the American League. Brian Dozier used to be here.
Free agent.
So
as well.
you look at all the extra base hits he had last year. I mean, that those numbers jump
like
out.
Gleyber Torres, probably.
Gleyber Torres, yeah. That's another one. I think if he can obviously cut down the strikeouts and just be a better hitter, he has definitely a shot to be an All-Star. I don't know if it'll happen.
I put it at
50-50 for him to be an All-Star.
50-50 is high. Before we say All-Star, let's just have expectations that we're going to see some of the guy we expected to see when he came up.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. That's all I'm going to say. I'm intrigued to see him play.
Okay.
All right, there's this beautiful gray White Sox cap here.
Also, I'm just realizing he could also move to third base. That changes the whole dynamic to get in the All-Star team.
This is a snapback White Sox cap.
Yeah, it's a White Sox hat.
White Sox hat, gray, to really wear well with business or pleasure. Here we go. That is going to Brian at Speed is King 1488. If Manny Machado were to sign a 10-year deal with the White Sox, would you want him to wear number 13 or should he choose something else? I feel 13 should be retired to honor Ozzy in the next few years, and I think delaying it potentially 10 years is too long. Thoughts from you guys?
Well said.
Well, he was 13 with the Orioles. I think he wore 8 with the Dodgers, but I hear exactly what he's saying, and I do agree that at some point Ozzy's jersey should be retired.
I know Ozzy listens to the podcast. He's a fan of it.
Oh, that's nice.
We love number 13 forever, and I think there should be a statue of him, and they should honor him at some point. To me, it wouldn't bother me if Manny Machado wore number 13 with the White Sox.
He might wear it to honor him because he's known him for a long time.
As a matter of fact, I think there might even be a conversation with Ozzy, and I think if Ozzy were to allow that, he would allow it for somebody like a Manny Machado. So I could go either way on it. I do think that I do agree with you. I think we all three think that at some point down the line, he should be honored by the White Sox, whether it's retired or not, statue, whatever you want to call it. Usually if you have a statue, though, your number's retired.
Okay,
so the next...
Oh, yeah, choose
the next person's going to get this Hawk Solo bobblehead.
Kamka's really riding the Hawk train.
I guess I am.
Hawk Solo bobblehead. I wonder where they came up with that. Oh, probably because it was Star Wars night.
The commercial they shot with Hawk was amazing. They had him on this spinning pedestal.
I'm probably the least biggest Star Wars fan in the world, but
I'm right behind
you. But Hawk Harrelson's still cool.
Yeah.
So there you go.
He'll always be cool.
All right. Nick at NSully24 asks, which former Sox do you think could eat more dollar hot dogs?
Chris, you're getting the
Bartolo
perfect.
Bartolo Colon or Bobby Jenks?
Or Chris Kamka. Or Chris Kamka.
I'd take them both down.
I think this one's easy.
Is it easy?
I do. Really? I think it's easy.
I think it's Bartolo.
I do. I agree.
Yeah.
I think Bartolo, not only, I think Bobby Jenks would be affected, whereas Bartolo Colon, as he eats more hot dogs, it just helps him more on the mound.
Colon has endurance. Look how long he's been pitching. Yep. Still going.
So he could slam 3 pregame hot dogs. He may get roughed up in the first inning, but he gets one in between the third and the fourth. Boom. Now he's got 2 more innings, whereas Bobby may not be able to pitch tomorrow or the next day.
I agree with what you're saying. I think what would happen would be Bobby, because he throws so hard, he'd get out to a big lead. He'd be eating so fast, and then he would just freaking pass out while Bartolo would just take his time.
Oh, he would take
and
his
just keep going.
Adding condiments, going,
and then before you know it, he's got 500 hot dogs in that stomach of his. So
and as he continues to go out, there's a button undone on his jersey.
All right. I have in my possession, what is this thing? Oh, the White Sox adult onesie. The onesie.
Yes.
Woo. Look at this thing. Some special.
This is the one prize I'm probably most envious of.
I mean, this is a special gift.
I remember the game they gave those out.
You like the jersey.
I just can't believe they thought of this. Let's give a onesie
to they gave away onesies, and they scored 1 run. I remember that. they did.
I don't remember that one. All right, here we go. I choose... Oh, my God. The winner is, of all people, I'm so glad I chose this one, Michael Kopech, The Michael Kopech sent us a tweet when I put this out saying, when can I come on the podcast? So we included him in here.
Well,
yeah. Michael Kopech has won the onesie.
It's perfect. And I saw it as he tweeted. I was like, hey, Chuck, did you see Kopech just tweeted? And by the within 60 seconds, we had him confirmed for Sox Fest. So there you go. We're going to have the Michael Kopech podcast. But the fact that he replied with the upside down face emoji, I mean, look, people, everyone who replied, your name's in the hat. So we just the fact that I want Kopech in the onesie doing the podcast.
Wow.
He's a pretty big guy.
I don't know. Yeah. What size is this?
It's one size fits all, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, then maybe it'll fit him. But you said, when do you want to do it? And he offered up Sox Fest.
I said, when and where, pal? He replied, Sox Fest? And said, book it, and he liked it.
All right, so breaking news on the podcast. Not only is Michael Kopech coming on the podcast during Sox Fest, he has won the onesie.
The onesie is
There's actually one more onesie here. I see another
oh,
one.
Oh, perfect.
Michael Kopech has won the onesie.
I'm going to follow the onesie up with, I think, arguably, look, I don't know what the best gift here. There's so many good ones. But this is a White Sox half-zip pullover.
Yep.
It's
quarter-zip.
Quarter-zip, my bad. Yep. Dark gray, charcoal gray. Could go well with anything, any time of year. All right, here we go. This is going to Not Hawk Harrelson. At Not Sox Hawk. A full hour on Brian Omigroso's White Sox career.
That's what he wanted. He actually tweeted a photo of the Omigroso jersey.
Oh, because
he bought one. About that?
He wanted
We're
that.
We're silence.
I know, that wasn't even a question. It could be a topic, whatever you want.
His major league debut was with the Sox. And
also his last game was with the White Sox.
No, he played a few. I remember that big leg kick. It was sweet. It was like a 19-2 blowout, and he pitched.
Looking him up real quick here, 29 games of his big league career, all with the White Sox, 0-2 with a 5.54.
But the leg kick was sweet. I still can't believe
there's someone who's a fan who goes to games all the time. Season ticket holder, he wears the Omigroso jersey.
I don't know where Brian Omigroso, it says here he was born in Pennsylvania. If he's somewhere in mid-Pennsylvania, so Chris just recalled this major league debut, and it was a 19-2 game.
Yeah. So I got that. He was born in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, which was the setting of the Mr. Belvedere TV show, my all-time favorite show.
Your all-time favorite show?
Oh, hell yeah, it is.
If he's going back
to Beaver.
Can I ask
why?
Oh, here we go.
It's awesome. Do I need to explain it?
All right. Of all the shows.
Wasn't Euchre?
Is it because of Euchre?
Euchre.
And they had an episode where there was Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson.
I watched it all the time.
Johnny Bench.
I watched
Willie
it all
Mays,
the time.
Hank
it's
Aaron.
The first time I knew of Bob Euchre was Mr. Belvedere.
It's the best show in the world. All right, so the winner of this Beggar's Pizza hat.
There it is.
There you go. It's a floppy
hat. You had to be the guy
it's
who gave it
floppy hat.
Floppy hat.
It's got the Beggar's Pizza logo in front there, so you can wear that proudly. I know I would.
Let me tell you, I have one of these because I was working that day. It was 95 degrees. It was smoking hot. I was sideline reporting, and I needed it, and it did the job. It saved me that day. So whoever's getting this is a bonafide floppy hat.
Now you have to be sure to go to Beggar's Pizza and eat there while wearing that hat.
We should have we should have Beggar's Pizza after this.
So Orlando Quintana asks, hypothetically, you are Rick Hahn and you just struck out on both Harper and Machado. What is your opening line at your next press conference? And vice versa, you are Rick Hahn and you land one or both. What is your opening line at your next press conference? And I know what Chuck's answer would be.
Do you? Okay. Well, if they don't get him, if I'm Rick Hahn, I'm standing up there. I'm going, look, we tried. There was no guarantee we're going to get him. We did everything in our power to get him. Unfortunately, they had to go somewhere, and we did not, unfortunately, get him. If the Sox are able to sign Machado, Harper, or both, whatever it is, I'm dropping the mic.
Yeah.
I'm going up there. I'm going to go, ladies and gentlemen, the White Sox have arrived. We are here.
My opening
line.
Look out. Yep. I'll start with that one.
Okay.
If he were to land one or the other, it's not even an opening line. It's a look and any questions. That's how the press conference begins. And then if they don't get him, I'm not going to get much into we tried, because that's not going to make fans feel well. They have been aggressive. Their contract offer is extremely aggressive. And you honestly, you don't want to be a part of us? No problem.
Next.
We are moving on. and we are continuing exactly to the plan that we have. These prospects are here, and some are coming, and there are some big time targets that are already in the 2020 plan. Don't fret. We took a chance and we didn't get them. Don't fret. It's not messing with the White Sox plan whatsoever.
Yeah. So pretty much, if they get them, I would say similar to what Guff said here. Any questions? And if they didn't, I would just get up to the podium and say, well, obviously these guys don't like money.
That's
about it. Because, I mean, what other team has the financial flexibility that the White Sox have?
I'd say we are not the problem. Harper and Machado, they're the problem.
At the end of the day,
Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
All right, Tim Anderson.
There it is.
Tim Anderson bobblehead.
We have two of these, folks.
This is him sliding into second base. I assume it's second or third base. And the winner of this is Bob Ain't Got This.
Well, Bob, you actually do got this.
Yeah, you do have it. The Twitter handle is LWOS Mike Wilson. And the question is, all right, we have a swear word in this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to be blunt. Like, by the way, can I say the swear word? It's S-H.
It's a podcast, man.
I'm doing it. Yeah. I'm saying it. Sorry, NBC.
S-H is in sacrifice hit. Yeah, that's a swear word. Next.
All right. I'm going to be blunt. Why does the national media love to shit on the White Sox as a destination? It's gotten pretty ridiculous that they can't land one of these guys because there's some scrub organization. A-Rod went to the Rangers. Machado or Harper could go to the Sox.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay, so to back that up, there was recently a study done where like 100 or more million dollar free agents, like 40% of the time they go to a team that was 500 the year before.
I did see that. That's
so the White Sox fit there. And the trend is a lot of guys do sign with teams that didn't have success recently. White Sox are far from a scrub team. This is a giant market. So there's that.
Here's why. Because as much as they crap on the White Sox, I don't want to go crazy on this, but there's so much love and spotlight given to the other side of town, and rightfully so in some ways. But it's asinine that people like ESPN continue to forget the 2005 White Sox. Like, this team is not professionally run. I'm telling you, folks, it takes a guy that has balls to actually want to walk up to the podium, embrace a $200 or $300 million, $400 million contract and say, I'm the guy. Put the spotlight on me. We are taking this into a new generation. Whatever, this is not your father's White Sox team. It's time to take it. And we're taking all the old Sox fans and all the new Sox fans, and we're bringing them. And if the national media wants to crap on it, let them keep crapping, because they'll be the first guys in line to cover the Bryce Harper press conference.
You know who a leader is? A leader isn't the guy that goes to New York and joins that group. A leader isn't a guy who goes to L.A. where all the fame and fortune and sunshine is. A leader's like going, you know what? I'm going to lead this freaking group of young players to the promised land. Put them all on my back. I'm coming to the White Sox.
You know, it's why I respect John Lester so much.
Yeah.
And I know he went to the Cubs, but he went to the Cubs at a very similar time that the White Sox are in right now. And he didn't have to. He could have gone to what he knows or a team that's already been there and done that. But he took a chance on himself and the organization. And I think it's one of the most important free agent signings in the city's history.
Yeah.
That guy, I have a lot of respect for him. And look what happened. He was the guy that said, it woke up baseball. He took the spotlight and was like, I'm coming here not to set a trend. I'm coming here to win championships and to be in the playoffs every year. And look what's happened. Those guys have looked up to him. And the same thing will happen for the first free agent. If it's Manny, if it's Harper, if it's neither, somebody's going to be the guy that comes here and changes the fortune and everything around.
And it's funny. The way I might even look at it is if they choose not to come to the Sox, it's almost like
telling.
That's telling.
I agree with you.
Maybe that wouldn't be the right guy
for
this team, because they look at that situation and they go, I'm going to stay away from that.
It takes a guy to be the first guy to do it, because then all the other guys hop on and go, well, you know what? I want to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
I want to go to Chicago because look what they signed him, and look at all the pieces. It takes – everybody wants to get to the pool, and the water – somebody tells you that the water's a little cold. So who is the first thing that's going to jump in? I'm going to put my toes in the water. Who's going to jump in the water so everyone follows? I can't wait to see who that person is.
Love it. My turn?
No, actually, it's my turn. Okay. Oh, you got me all fired up there. Yeah. I'm a little sweaty.
That was a great question.
All right, this is going to go. What do we got over there, Chuck? We got some repeats. We got some sun.
I've got to get the media guide.
Oh, let's do the media guide.
If you were listening to this podcast, You may not realize what this is, but this is a very cool thing coming your way.
You think you know the White Sox?
It's an encyclopedia.
Yeah, yeah. And if you get this quick enough, there's two free passes to the Brookfield Zoo in here that expire on New Year's Eve. So if you get this quick enough, there's also
they're in there.
Yeah, they're in.
That's kind of weird. All right.
All right. This is going to Sean Houlihan, at Sean A. Houlihan. Any chance the Sox get both Machado and Harper? I think the front office smells a window to win more than one for Jerry.
That's good timing, by the way. I'm glad that one came after this one.
Absolutely.
You know, I think they're projected to have like a $71 million payroll next season, right now.
Yeah.
You know, let's just say they get $40 million a year, all right, for those two guys. That puts your payroll at $150 million, which would rank you like fourth or fifth, mm-hmm. something like that, mm-hmm. in the majors, which is not, you know, completely out of line. I mean, they could possibly do it.
It's probably closer to probably 10th.
10th, so 10th.
But so, still a lot higher than they had been.
Of course it is. Yeah. But, you know, they were doing that on purpose. That was part of the design. Right. What's the most they've ever spent for a season? Was it 130, 120?
Back in like the mid two after 2005.
No, I think 2009. I think it was like 2011.
The all in.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I'm gonna look that up while we're talking here. But my point
they
is,
were, yeah, and that was at that time. To put in perspective, today that it put them in like near the top 10 or top 8 or whatever in payroll. I don't think, not to crap on your statement here, I just don't think they're gonna sign both. I think it's one or the other, and then they move on. There are other pieces. They're not going to hamstring – now, look, those two guys, and Chuck just said it moving forward, it's not going to hamstring them immediately, today, tomorrow, even maybe 2 years from now. But at some point, you're going to need to add other pieces, whether it's in the pitching staff and the bullpen along the way, that are not $200 or $300 or $400 million.
This is why you can afford to do it theoretically, in that you have so many – you're going to have so many cost-controlled players. You got to give the money – you know, to somebody or some people. And what I think you do, here's a strategy, without me knowing really anything. You could sign, if you do get Machado, you sign Machado and then you call up Scott Boras and go, we got Machado. Does Bryce want
to
join?
That's what I, like that to me.
127 is their high watermark, 2011. So,
you know, that's.
Yeah, but if you have to put that.
That was seventh in the majors.
Thank you.
That
you have to comp where it was then and where they were. I don't think. You just mentioned they'd have a whole bunch of guys under cost control. You think and hope so.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You think that you project your seven guys that are going to come up here and hit, pitching and hitting, and maybe five of them do. Well, now you need to go out and figure out the guy who didn't make it. What are we going to do here now?
Right.
I just think realistically speaking, it's probably not realistic.
Yeah, I don't think they would. It's almost – you can almost make a case that it's preferable they decide one or zero – one rather than two, because you don't want two players eating up an overwhelming amount of your salary.
Half of it.
I think if you can get the one big player, great, and then you can supplement through a couple of creative trades.
Agreed.
I think is the best way to do it.
It does hamstring your flexibility. You take all your flexibility away pretty much moving forward if you sign both, even though they're great superstar players.
You're going to get a lot of that money back in ticket sales.
Yeah,
marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot. I want to say a lot of it, not like, you know, half, clearly, but you'll get a good amount.
But if you sign both, too, your expectations for 19 just changed.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one, we're going to give another Jim Thome bobblehead out.
All right.
And it's going to the fat hipster. Well, I get the hot dog question.
This
get
is unbelievable.
Fat hipster.
I can't believe it.
It's like, all right, I'll go on to that.
Right, everyone listening, we have to say we are literally doing this randomly.
Completely random.
I mean, you have no idea what's coming
out of
these
getting
things.
Chosen, random. I mean, this is great.
Yeah. And, well, the fat hipster asks, well, best food item you've ever had at Comiskey/sell/guaranteed rate. Best food item at any baseball stadium.
Well, the thing that happened to me, the development with me last year was having the root beer float at Guaranteed Rate Field. It was really hot, and that stayed with me all season. When it was really hot, to have not just ice cream, but a root beer float watching a baseball game. And then, by the seventh inning, you want to take a nap. So if you're up for going to a baseball game, eating, feeling great, and napping, root beer float is your answer.
The elotes are pretty awesome.
the Mexican street corn. Back in the 80s at Old Comiskey Park, because this is ever, right? Best ever?
Yep.
They had this slushy that I've told Chuck about that I'm telling you they need to bring back. It was like a snow cone in an enormously large plastic cup that you could drink. And it was amazing. It was a perfect mixture of juice and ice and substance. And the churro, man. The churro's always been the staple because they fill them with stuff. You can have just the normal churro, but they always are fresh. To answering the back half of the question, any stadium, the best food I've ever had at any stadium, and this is no BS, is on the south side.
All right.
Everybody else is now. All right. The trend now is to move on to cool food items. The White Sox started this.
What I'll say, I'll do this two ways. I keep it simple. I'm a fat person, but I'm very picky. I keep it simple with pizza. And the pizza at the ballpark, I love it.
Yeah.
Beggar's Pizza, they have it. Guaranteed
they lay it on
field. Yes, and I would highly recommend that. Best food at any baseball stadium. So I'll say at a baseball stadium that's not guaranteed right field.
Yeah, sure.
The best that I've had in any ballpark, not here, would be the chorizo and cheese curds at Miller Park.
Those are good. I've had those.
I don't think they have the chorizos anymore at Miller Park because they moved from sausage manufacturer. That's a little inside baseball and concessions. But it was amazing. Any ballpark outside of here, that's what I would recommend to get if you can get it.
Okay. Cleveland has this pretty cool trio of hot dogs. It's like a California flavor. It's almost kind of like they're Kraft hot dogs, but they're like mini dogs. You can get them as a three-pack. They're pretty good over there at Progressive Field.
All right, now to this little prize, the halfway to St. Patrick's Day snapback hat. This is sharp.
Yeah.
Green hat.
It's got like that spring training, like, you know, the old 80, it's a combo, like the modern 83 logo is the way I call it.
Yes.
A little White Sox trivia for the green White Sox. You know, the last home run in Manny Ramirez's career was hit wearing green pinstripes off Max Scherzer.
Weren't they the first to ever do the St. Patrick's Day jerseys as well? I believe the White Sox were. Like 20, like
30. I kind of feel that the Phillies did it earlier.
The White Sox did it in spring training when I was growing up.
All right, here we go. Francisco Morales, you win it. Francisco Morales, question is, first off, he says, I love the podcast, especially the new intro. Thank you very much, Francisco.
Yeah, that's a good intro.
That was a labor of love. I'm anxious to know if there is a fifth starting pitcher on the Sox radar as of this date, which is December 20th. Got Giolito, Lopez, Rodon, Nova, blank. I like the rotation so far. Authentic fan, hot stove, hashtag.
This guy's all in on everything.
I got a good one. I got a guy.
Okay.
Wade LeBlanc. Wade LeBlanc. So here's his story. I'm sure you guys know him, but I got to look up his salary situation because it's interesting. He's on the Mariners. They're rebuilding. So he had a real good season last year for him. He went 9-5 with a 3.72 ERA with the Mariners. He'll be 34 years old. Here's what I like about him. I haven't seen this kind of contract before, but here it is. Hold on. So he's going to make $2.3 million here in 2019. That's cheap. 2020 through 2022, he's due to make $5 million. There are team options every single year with a $450,000 buyout every year.
That's weird. So you're going to have to really give up some stuff.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, he's under control.
He is under control.
I like the name.
But he's 34. Like, you're not going to get a ton for Wade. You don't have to give up a ton for Wade LeBlanc. They don't need him. They need some prospects.
Yeah.
And you know,
I like the name.
Yeah, and he's making $2.3 million this year, 5, 5, and 5. And you have team options every freaking year. So this gives you a bridge like, this prospect ready yet? No? Okay, go back to Wade LeBlanc. Okay, is this prospect ready yet? Go back to Wade LeBlanc.
Mine are more names that are not going to make you...
And he's left-handed.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you mentioned that because I do think it should be probably like a lefty, a preferred maybe. I don't want to say should be, but preferred lefty. Right now you have one in that group you just mentioned to start the question. Rick alluded to at the winter meetings that you're going to see some non-roster invitees compete for that spot. And the way free agency is going, it's starting to look a little bit more now like last year again than it did, a month ago when it started to pick up steam. I think guys like the Gio Gonzalez's, the Drew Pomeranz, Wade Miley's,
and the Irvin Santanas might be these guys.
Irvin Santana.
Yeah, he's not a lefty.
No,
he's intriguing.
I know.
As long as he doesn't get suspended for another PED thing.
I do have a lefty for you, and he's currently on the roster. Manny Benuelos. You got him from the Dodgers in trade. He has no options left.
Ooh.
He's on the roster. He's probably going to get a chance to take that role if he can get it. Now, he used to be a big prospect with the Yankees. I think that, you know, he'll be given a chance to take it. And he really hadn't had much of a look in the majors. I think he'll we'll see what we get.
I don't feel like the Sox are going to go big on this fifth guy. Like, they're not going to go for Gio at this point, right?
That's not big, though.
Well, how much is that going to cost?
What if it's February 1st and Gio's still out there?
That's different. I know. But
I have a name that's not related to this. I keep saying it. I think Cody Allen on a one-year deal is going to be there.
You're obsessed with
that. I think Cody Allen, and, like, I really do.
He's not even in a rumor right now. Think about that.
Yeah, on February 1st. He wants to be.
I haven't seen his name anywhere.
There are bigger names that are one-year deals.
Okay.
All right, here we go. We are going to go. You know what? It's time to give away the other onesie because Michael Kopech got one, so we need a fan to get one.
And this fan can take a picture with Michael Kopech
in the
onesie together.
Here we go. This is from, congratulations, Liam at LP McManus. Who is the most underrated player in White Sox history? Forget it. It's Ross Gloed.
That was him saying Ross Gloed,
that
not
was
you.
Him, not me. I have a name.
You got a name.
My most underrated player was a guy who performed really well. Jose Valentin, to me, is the most underrated White Sox player of all time. That guy was here. He was in one of the best trades in White Sox history. They got rid of Jamie Navarro, which was an awful mistake. They got Cal Eldred. They got Jose Valentin. They won the 95 games in 2000, largely in part because of those two guys that were brought over. Valentin was here 2000 through 2004, and then he was a free agent. In those, he never hit fewer than 25 home runs as a shortstop. He had 136 home runs in those 5 years. He wasn't the most, you know, fleet of foot on in terms of a shortstop, but the most errors he ever committed in a season was 20.
Production.
No, he was an excellent fielder.
Anyway, 20 errors, and he loved the big game spotlight. He killed the Cubs. He did the Sammy Sosa thing in the camera well. He doesn't get the he's one of my guys. A guy who – it's not Ross Gloed-like. This is a guy who started for 5 years and was an extremely productive player, very good, and forgotten about a little bit because he left right when that 2005 season started.
I'll pick two really quick. Bobby Thigpen.
Oh, yeah.
He was a great reliever, and he's just kind of like, yeah, Bobby Thigpen did his thing. Well, he had 57 saves, and then Lamar Hoyt, Cy Young Award winner. And he obviously was a short career with the White Sox. He had obviously some drug problems, but went 24-10, I think it was, in 1983.
All right.
You'd be hard-pressed to pick a better answer than Guff's Jose Valentin.
Wow.
That was a really damn good answer.
Thank you. That makes me feel good. We're not getting when Camp, thank you, Val.
Especially someone from the past. That's right in his wheelhouse there.
Okay, so another Tim Anderson bobblehead here.
Yep. See how many we have left here. We got one, two. We still have to give away the Sox Fest tickets.
Yeah, those are coming. Hang on tight.
Okay. Eddie, at Entitled Chicago, asks, if you were personally taking Manny Machado on a night out in town, where would you take him to try to convince him to come here? I would delegate that to somebody else.
Where do you go on a night out?
Me? I would go to, like, Beggar's Pizza or something. Hey, I don't do the nightlife
stuff.
Done
deal. Manny Machado,
Beggar's
Pizza.
Give me a good
pizza.
Restaurant to eat. I'll fill myself up. That's my idea of a good night out. So I'm the wrong person to ask.
Me too. Take him to Underground? I don't know.
I mean, hit Michigan Avenue with the wife, dinner, yacht picks you up on the river, pulls you outside there over there in the playpen area.
This is not in the winter, clearly.
This is going to be whenever the hell we want it to be. This is fictional and fantasy. If I'm taking Manny Machado out, we're going to be in the playpen in the middle of summer and just going to be like, any questions? You're signing here.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get it done.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
All right, we got five left. Five questions left. Now one more Hawk Harrelson.
Is this coming down to the end? The last person gets the Sox?
The last person is going to get the tickets for the Sox Fest. The Sox Fest tickets, excuse me. All right, so this is the, what do they call this thing? The nesting doll.
The nesting doll, yep.
Hawk Harrelson nesting doll. Daniel Pierce wins it. He's he's at Real Dan Pierce. As someone who grew up a Sox fan in the Northwest suburbs, any advice for the next generation who may be in the minority? I know I certainly didn't have the easiest time being one of only a handful of Sox fans in classes, and I'm sure you have plenty of younger listeners. Big fan, guys. Hey, Daniel, good stuff.
I'm taking this one right now.
This is yours.
I grew up in Northwest Indiana, different. There's pockets of White Sox fans there. But I live on the northwest side of Chicago now. And I can tell you, I can attest to what he's saying. In the summer, every other house has the Cubs flag flying. And you feel damn proud when you have your Sox flag flying. And you don't have to apologize. I feel like sometimes you have to apologize for being a White Sox fan. Don't ever do that.
Badge of honor.
In terms of the next generation, I have two young kids. I have an 8-year-old son. And when the Cubs were winning 2 years ago at school, they played Go Cubs Go every day at school. And I just told him.
That's obnoxious.
It was. He changed the words to Boo Cubs Boo. That was not me. That was him. But probably a little bit of me. The point is, I told him, let them have their day. When teams are winning, there's nothing you can do. But here's the way you look at the next generation. The White Sox are coming. And kids are influential. So right when my son's about to hit that preteen stage, I expect the tide will turn a little bit. The Cubs are going to be having a lot of free agent hell. Guys are going to be leaving, and the White Sox are going to be primed, ready for the taking. And you know what? Kids like what's current. So those Sox jerseys are going to start filling those Northwest Side stores. Keep being you.
Yeah.
Do not apologize for where you live and who you cheer for.
Years ago, I didn't see a lot of Cubs stuff around
here. Let that heart bleed black, baby. Yeah. Always. Don't ever apologize for that, no matter where you live.
Okay, so growing up in the Northwest suburbs, where there was a vast majority of Cub fans, I would tell you this from experience. Knowledge is power. Know everything about your team. Know everything about their team. So they have no choice but to respect you.
Well done, Chris Kamka. Good answer. All right.
All right, here we go. We are giving away. I'm going to give away the other White Sox winter hat.
All right.
You know, 'tis the season. Here we go.
It's unisex, so he can give your girlfriend, wife,
maybe the other person who won. Maybe this is their brother.
Yeah.
Adam Schweitzer, @AdamSchweitzer. What's your guys' take on the criticism Harold has gotten since being elected into the Hall of Fame? Chris, this is your prime for you. Not like it's Harold's fault, and he deserves to go in anyway.
Right. So this is what I tell you there. If you're a White Sox fan and you love Harold, just be happy for him and celebrate it. That's it.
Yeah.
Who cares what other people think? He's in the Hall of Fame, and that can't be undone. And Hall of Fame, he's a very worthy hitter, very worthy player, and just embrace it.
It's noise. All these other – where's it coming from?
National media.
It's all national media. Yeah. I don't hear Chicagoans talking about it. If you go to L.A., people on the street, you don't hear them talking about it. It's freaking national media. You know what I got to say? There's such an East Coast bias. I'm sick of hearing about the Yankees and the Red Sox. F you! Seriously. We got our guy in.
It's so classless. It's so classless to bash a guy. This is a time where this man deserves to celebrate more like he's ever celebrated in his life. And how dare people just bash the players?
Yes.
It has nothing to do with them. And allow them to enjoy their moment.
I'll do you a favor. Cue up White Sox talk on Twitter and look at Harold Baines' reaction to Chuck when he interviewed him at the winter meetings in Las Vegas.
Yep.
Now, I get pretty damn emotional talking about it because I stood 3 feet from him. There are real-life people. Gives a shit what they did on the field. He earned it on the field, and he earned it off. He's a real human being that has feelings. For people to crap on his day and crap on this is absolutely asinine. He was voted in by a panel of 12 people, or 16 people. Of his peers. You could say it was stacked in his favor. Jerry Reinsdorf and Tony La Russa had to convince 10 other people to say yes, and damn it, they did. They saw through all the other crap that allowed him to only have 6% of the vote all the other time. So you know what? As a Sox fan, don't worry about the crap that Chuck just said, the noise.
Yeah.
Let everybody else break down why the guy's not a Hall of Famer. And when he goes in Cooperstown in mid-July, have a big smile and a beer.
Baines was on the list to begin with. And he was worthy enough to be there and leave it there. He was obviously worthy Hall of Famer.
And, you know, I talked about the East Coast bias, and you mentioned that it was stacked against him, so to speak. Is that what you said?
Stacked in favor because he had... I'm talking about
the stacked in favor. You know what?
Committee.
Yes. Well, it's been stacked in favor of every player who played for the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Mets for years and years and years. So you know what?
And it still will be. The teams have played on the National Game of the Week back in the old days, and they continue to play on the game of the Sunday Night Baseball. It will always be stacked in their favor.
Yes.
Period.
We got our guy in. I don't care.
I'm not
apologizing. Yeah, you swore.
That was a passionate topic.
Okay. Who's
well deserving of the? I feel
I
like a White Sox winner.
You're next.
Okay. Oh, no, I just did the Tim Anderson.
I feel like Adam deserves.
Or did
more
we come
more.
Around already?
But we have three left. We have three prizes
we
left.
Have pullover. We have Hawk Solo, and we have.
So Goff, why don't you go next? I don't know. You have the choice between these two right here.
All right, I'm gonna do the. I'll do the other Hawk Solo since I already gave away the pullover.
Okay.
This is Chris. I can't pronounce your last name. At C. Okawija? Okawija?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
At COCWIEJA. All right.
He'll know the question.
Hit up Chuck.
Yes.
Who is your 2019 sleeper prospect, in parentheses, like this season's Hamilton, Lazarvera, or Tyler Johnson? They must be outside the top 15 on MLB Pipeline end of season rankings. Wow, he's giving us very clear.
I got one.
I kind of have to revisit my
prospect. So I did a story on him about a month ago. Zach Thompson. Oh, be on the lookout for Zach Thompson. So he's a guy who was in the system for a while as a starter. He had an ERA in like the fives. He was really struggling. So they moved him to a reliever about a year and a half ago. But it was last season where he really came on at High A Winston-Salem. He played the first half with that championship team. He had an ERA in the ones as a reliever. Goes to Double A last year in the second half of the season. Again, ERA in the ones. Went to the Arizona Fall League. Smart, sharp, really interesting cat. I like him a lot. He's not in the top 30 at all, but he has raised some eyebrows. Could be a piece that potentially could get to the majors in 2019 if he continues to pitch like this out of the bullpen.
I have a guy that probably won't fit this mold, but I kind of want to. I'm kind of rooting for him because he kind of just has fallen flat since being drafted. Evan Skouk.
Evan Skouk.
Yeah, I love Evan Skouk as much as he loves Zach Thompson. Zach Thompson's probably that's a realistic candidate.
Yeah.
Evan Skouk has just not hit since being a member of the Chicago White Sox. I'm hoping that he finds something this year and turns around into one of those sleeper guys again.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go with right-hander Jimmy Lambert.
Good
Keep
one.
Keep an eye on it.
That's a really good one. That's a really good one.
And here, they're going to
Okay, so the winner of this quarter zip pullover.
Yep, the other one, yep.
Aaron Gronke. The Sox have continued to improve the game day experience with additions like the Rev Brewing Lounge, Craft Cave, and their focus on bringing in delicious food options. What's your favorite spot, food, or amenity in the ballpark? Patio parties are my favorite.
Well, I'm going to give you one that you don't necessarily have to have $200 in your pocket to do. If you can get to the Craft Cave early, the Craft Cave is phenomenal. But what you can do is upgrade your Craft Cave experience. Is all you have to have. You can have an upper deck ticket. It doesn't matter. If you get there early enough, and when I say early, you have to be in like the top 50. You can buy a patio seat above the Craft Cave, and you have waitress service, waitress staff the whole game. It's phenomenal. You're above right field, not blocked at all. That's the spot I would give everybody the chance to go to.
Something brief. I can't speak highly enough. That mural on the upper concourse, the timeline for the White Sox, is not exactly an amenity, but it's beautiful, and I love it.
Okay. We are now down to our last question. And this guy's going to win Sox Fest tickets. Two tickets all weekend. And your winner is Daniel Horning at dhorning91. And what a great way to finish the podcast. Here's the question. Will the Bears or the White Sox have more championships by 2025?
Oh, my God.
That's really good. That's really good.
What a great way. Hopefully Daniel will see you at Sox Fest. I'm going to answer like this. I'm going to say it's going to be equal, but both will have at least one.
Woo!
Let's go.
Let's go.
Bear down, Sox down. Let's go. One each.
Bear down, White Sox.
One each by 2025.
Probably Bears. And the reason why, because they're close right now. I'm playing the odds.
Okay. I like 1-1.
Yeah.
1-1.
I figured you would hop on that.
I mean, what are we talking about here? The White Sox can win three World Series championships? They could, but let's just be realistic. If I can have one Sox championship between now and 2025, I'm good.
Totally agree. And the Bears have been to two Super Bowls ever. So let's be realistic.
All right. Congrats to Daniel Horning, and congrats to all of you guys who are going to be taking home these. Well, actually, you're not going to be taking home. these will be delivered to your homes. I'm going to be like the postman over the next few weeks. They'll eventually get to your home. You have to be a little patient with me. I've got a lot of mailing to do. Guff, will you help me out with this?
Absolutely.
We have to find some boxes.
We'll figure it out.
Okay. So thanks again. Happy holidays to everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll still have some podcasts. We'll have at least one before the new year, possibly two, maybe three.
Yeah, you feeling any breaking news podcasts going?
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
We shall see.
Yeah, for real, though. Thank you, everybody. Merry Christmas. It's been phenomenal.
All right. That's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, community bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/sox. Hawk Harrelson.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.